Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and happy Saturday to everyone. Welcome to Life Coach Radio Network. My name is Philomena Iroya Pashuluk, and I'm the founder of Bounce Life Coaching, and I'm going to be your lead co-host today. I'm joined today by two wonderful co-host colleagues, Veronica Taylor of Life Leaders Coaching and Life Purpose Coach Tim Billiter. And today's topic is keeping your passion alive, staying motivated when life isn't going as planned. So I'm sure this is something that everyone that's listening in today has experienced. But first, what I'd like to do before we start our introductions is I'd like to give our listeners the chance to take down our phone number. If you have any questions or comments today, please feel free to call in. We'd love to hear from our listeners. The number to call is 646-716-9397. Again, the number to call in is 646-716-9397. Okay, so before we get started with the discussion, I'm going to give our co-host a moment to introduce themselves. You're going to hear a little bit about what they do, how to get in touch with them after the show. So why don't we start with you, Veronica? Please tell us a little bit about yourself, your coaching practice, and how listeners can get in touch with you.
Thank you so much, Philomena. I'm so happy to be here this morning talking about such a great topic. And my practice is based around leadership skills, and I primarily work with women in their early 20s and 30s who are looking for a more meaningful and prosperous life through leadership skills in all aspects of their life. And anybody who's interested in looking me up, my website is lifeleaderscoaching.com. Also, there is a Facebook page out there called Life Leaders Coaching for all of you guys who are out there eager to look for some aspiration and some positive energy through a Facebook page. And thanks for having me.
Awesome. Thank you, Veronica. And I'm very excited to be working with you today. I love working with you, so I think it's going to be a great discussion. Hey, Tim, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. So why don't you tell us a little about yourself, your practice, and how listeners can get in touch with you.
I am a life purpose coach, and my mission really is to remind people really of who they are at their core being and to facilitate a creation of a life based on that truth. My goal really is to assist people in developing thought processes and practical skills to move through life with much more ease and grace. I want people to understand that their true nature is that they are never really alone nor really disconnected from their source. And because of this, they possess far more power than they've ever been likely taught that they or imagined that they have. And I really want to help them to learn to tap into that potential and forge lives and thoughts and forge their lives through those thoughts, those words, and those actions, really the life that they desire.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Oh, how to get a hold of me. That's the important thing. You can reach me on my website, which is DIYForYourSoul.com, DIYFORYOURSoul.com. You can reach me via email at info@DIYForYourSoul.com. You can reach me on Facebook at facebook.com/Tim Billiter Life Coach, and that's TimBilliter Life Coach. And you can follow me on Twitter at Tim Billiter.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Tim. So my name is Philomena Iroya Pashuluk, and I'm the founder of Bounce Life Coaching. And my coaching practice really does professional coaching for body and business. So whether people are struggling with their weight or they're dreaming of starting a business, or even if they already have an established business but they'd like to improve company culture, I help my clients learn to face obstacles with curiosity and make decisions with clarity. And I do this by helping them understand how to become masters of their emotions. So once people have a grasp that really the most controllable human stressor in the world is our mind, they're able to make better decisions and live a more fulfilling life. In addition to individual coaching, I also enjoy facilitating group workshops and group coaching. On a personal note, I love telling people that I'm the mother of two beautiful little girls, and I'm also the wife to a wonderful husband. I'm a former good adrenaline. I love to travel, and I at this point, even though I'm not photographing professionally, I love to photograph my children. If you'd like to learn more about me and my coaching practice, you can visit my website, and that is www.bounce-life.com, or you can reach me via email, and that's Filomena, F as in Frank, I-L-O-M-E-N-A, at bounce-life.com. Okay, so now that we've all had a chance to introduce ourselves, I just want to remind everyone again the call-in number. If you have any questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you. If you have praise for the network, please feel free to call in. The number to call is area code 646-716-9397. Okay, so let's get started. Today's awesome topic is keeping your passion alive, staying motivated when life isn't going as planned. So, you know, I feel like the word passion is constantly being thrown around these days, and that's why the three of us felt like it would really make for an interesting topic to discuss during today's show. And what's interesting is yesterday I was on the radio again, and I happened to work with Danielle Mund and Annette Johnson, and our topic yesterday was the importance of self-talk. And what we found was we found this study from UCLA that indicated that the average person per day has about 70,000 thoughts. But what's alarming is more than 80% of those thoughts are negative. So I thought that would be an interesting statistic to throw in again, because we're talking about passion, and, you know, part of passion is being motivated. And if you're like the average person, 80% of your thoughts being negative, it's going to be a little bit difficult to be passionate or motivated. But anyway, people are always talking about how important it is to be passionate about something. And, you know, for instance, when it comes to your career, if you're passionate about your career, you're going to be successful. When it comes to relationships, if you have a passionate relationship, it's going to last. Once there's no passion, the relationship ends. Many of us are really on this hunt to find our passion. It's almost like, you know, if we find something that we're passionate about, it's really going to be the key to our success or to living a life full of happiness. But really, how true is that? What I ended up doing while I was preparing for the show was I decided to look up what is the meaning of passion in the dictionary. And the first entry reads, any powerful or compelling emotion or feeling, as love or hate. Well, what if you don't have a powerful or compelling emotion or a feeling towards something or someone? Is it possible to still lead a fulfilling and completing life? Is it still possible to lead a happy and joyful life? So why don't we start with you, Tom? What are your thoughts on that?
I also looked it up in the dictionary because I wanted to do the same thing. And, you know, I didn't mean I wanted to do the same thing as say the same thing. I just wanted to get the general idea of what it was saying. The thing that kind of popped into my head about passion is I have two things. One of them is when I think about passion, because a lot of us think about passion in the sense of a romantic relationship. And, you know, we're not really focusing specifically on romantic relationships, although it's a part of it, but that's not, you know, that's not the whole idea of what we want to talk about here. One of the things that I sort of realized as an analogy for what passion is that, you know, several years ago, that poker show was on the air all the time, that Texas Hold'em Poker, and they had the celebrities that would come on and play, and people would, you know, flock to watch these poker shows. And I realized that passion was kind of what happened when you went all in, you know, and everybody got so excited that that person went all in. And the passion is you went in all in, sort of emotionally, sort of intellectually. Everything about you is you've gone all in, which kind of actually ties into the whole idea of relationship passion. If you have ever, like, fallen in love and you have that passion, you know, you kind of go all in. Until at some point in time, your brain, with all the different things it carries with it and the past that you carry with you and all those other things, puts a big screeching halt on it and says, hey, whoa here, buddy. This is a little dangerous. And, It kind of goes in the same vein of, Philomena, you and I were on a show not long ago where we were talking about happiness. And mm-hmm. my view on happiness is that everybody wants to be happy all the time, and you're talking about something that comes and goes. Happiness is something that comes and goes. It's an emotion. I think passion's the same way. I think passion comes and goes. We all have moments of passion, but I don't know anybody that can keep that up, you know, constantly and just never, ever cease from it. And I think if we are spoon-fed this idea that the only way to be successful is to be passionate all the time about something, we're doing ourselves a great big disservice. It's the same disservice that we do when we tell ourselves that we need to be happy all the time. If you can't be it, and it's just impossible, but yet the messages always tell you that you're supposed to be it, well, how is your self-esteem going to be at that point in time?
That's very, very interesting. What do you think, Veronica?
I totally agree with what Tim is saying, that emotion is a lot like happiness. Passion, it's very much just an emotion, and it's not constantly sustainable. It's just not part of being a human being. And I took a different approach or a different angle when it came to thinking about passion and preparing for the show. And for me, I kind of just went and channeled it to my own personal experience of what I thought passion is. And I think people do tend to forget that when we're looking for that passion, no matter in what realm of our life is, there's a process that actually needs to happen. And I think that what passion really means is, at least in my personal experience, is when your innate skills, values, and actions are in complete harmony. And I feel that through that as well, we have to do our homework. We have to really think about what those skills that ring so true to us really are, and what our real values are as well, and then what kind of actions can we put together to really make that passion come alive. So it's not something that just automatically comes to you like a light bulb that just goes off, and then all of a sudden everything just falls into place. So if there's anything that I would like to tell our listeners today is that, you know, there is a process that we have to kind of go through to kind of figure out what that passion is. And again, we have to continue to work on ourselves and the external energies that come into our world to maintain it. So In a nutshell, that's what I feel like passion, how passion has shown up in my life and in my world.
I think you guys, I think both of you have very, very valid points. I agree with a lot of what both of you have said. For me, when, you know, while I was thinking about passion, I was trying to think of people that I know of in my life or that I've encountered and that would be considered passionate. You know, people that are passionate, people that have achieved a certain level of success because they were considered passionate. And I think that there's two factors that have really created this fuel to make them passionate. One is they have the power of now, okay? So people that have this drive or this desire, this passion, if they wanted something, they wanted it now. So speed and momentum were key, okay? If you stop and you try to start, the wind is really going to break you down. But instead, they jump into it. So really there was this sense of urgency. You need to want it, and you want it now. Another thing I noticed is, and it's something, you know, it's part of something that I preach when I'm coaching stress eaters and small businesses, and that's our thoughts become our actions, and our actions become our habits, and our habits eventually determine our destiny. So, you know, like you guys said, we're not going to experience passion 24/7. I mean, it's impossible. You know, it's just like any other emotion. We may experience it during certain times of the day. We may not even experience it every single day. But it is an emotion. It is a state of being. And I think that people that are considered passionate are fueled by this deep desire to succeed in something. But because they've been able to incorporate it into their daily life, it's become more of a habit. So I think it's you know, part of what both of you guys are saying, you know, and understanding, you know, what exactly it is that you want to succeed at, or what goals do you want to accomplish, and how much of the drive do you have? What do you think is what do you think is really necessary to living? Since we know now that, you know, all three of us agree that passion is just like any other emotion. We can't have it's impossible to have it 24/7. Okay. How important do you think it is, or how necessary do you think it is to really living a fulfilling life? Because I know lots of people that I don't really see much passion. However, they seem to be pretty content with their life. Well, what are your thoughts on that, Tim?
I would say, first of all, I think that it depends on what you define as success in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
if, for example, you know, one person defines success as being famous and highly powerful, or making lots of money, or, you know, having a big title, they may need to be more motivated. And I kind of actually like the word motivated more than passionate. They need to be more constantly motivated to have that drive all the time. But, you know, there are people in this world that go through life, and as long as they are feeling good about themselves, as long as they have a roof over their head, as long as things are going fairly smoothly, they find that they are successful at that. And I'm not really sure that they are quite as motivated as, you know, or traditionally motivated. Maybe that's the right word. Maybe they're motivated in a different way. Maybe they're passionate about something else. And I think, you know, I just thought of this as I'm having these, you know, as I'm saying what I'm saying, is that maybe part of the problem is that passion is not a single definition. There's not one mm-hmm. thing that constitutes passion for everybody. So what I may be passionate about, or what I may find passionate for myself, is not the same thing somebody else finds for themselves. And they may very well look at me, if I'm the type of person that is not driven like crazy, and go, well, you're not very passionate. Well, maybe I am. Maybe I am in my own way. Maybe I'm passionate about what I'm passionate about.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I completely agree with you. I think there's so many different factors involved. And, you know, it's natural, as human beings, it's natural for us to experience, you know, compelling emotions or feelings, like love or hate, okay? However, the degree to which we experience that particular emotion varies from person to person. So that's why, like you said, when it comes, you like using the word motivation, you know, there are some people that seem to be more driven or more motivated, and others that don't really seem to be that motivated in doing anything. So, and I think a lot of it has to do with, for instance, you know, what's our level of interest? What's our level of physical attraction? What's our level of emotional or mental attraction to something? So, you know, there's some people that experience various emotions to a greater degree than others, you know, and that's where some people are perceived to be as more motivated than others. Yeah, but I completely agree with you. I think you bring up a really good point. What are your thoughts, Veronica?
Yeah, I'd love to just expand a little bit on that as well. Just what Kim was saying, you know, passion, it can have and it will have a different definition to every single different person. So for us to make a judgment upon someone else based on our own beliefs of what passion or success is extremely unfair to the person and ultimately unfair to us. So if anyone out there who's trying to find their passion and they're bouncing around with this idea, I think the first thing that I would suggest for them to do would be to ask themselves that very question. What is passion? What does it mean to me? And what does success look like? And what does that mean to me? Because sometimes we are geared to do certain things that we have been told will measure our success or our level of passion or commitment. And I think for me, at least in my personal experience, that's where part of the huge transformation became, where I had to let go a lot of the the misconceptions that I had around those words. And I, what I realized through that is that what I was striving for wasn't for me. It was based around my culture. It was based around the way I was brought up by my mother. And I was searching for this passion, and I would come up with something that was relatively geared through that energy, and I became extremely exhausted, and my energy would just be depleted. So that's another thing to consider. If you're going through this, trying to reach out for this passion, and you feel like you're drained, like you're not being fulfilled, then definitely it's something that you need to go back to the drawing board and reconsider what these things mean to you. That, I would say, would be the first step.
And I want to expand on this a little bit, just from, you know, the level even of just us as coaches. I consider myself passionate about being a coach. If you look at the way that I'm approaching, you know, opening, you know, setting up my practice and how I'm going about this, and compare it to somebody, let's say, like the founder of this radio network, Russ Terry. I mean, he's like a ball on fire. He's got so many things going at one time. And, I mean, it's amazing to watch, just sit, kind of stand back and watch what he's doing. And sometimes it's hard not to be a little jealous of it, to be perfectly honest with you, because he is like a ball on fire. But I don't operate in the same way that he operates. You know, I would find myself becoming overwhelmed if I tried to do all the little different things that he did. And then I would fail at this. And, you know, I kind of wanted to put that out there because I want the listeners out there to realize that there's no right way of doing this. You know, everybody's got to do it the way that is best for them, based on who they are, based on their life experiences, based on what they bring to the table, and not beat themselves up because you're trying to compare yourself to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And it can get very easy to do that, especially when you see somebody who's such an overachiever. And, hey, hats off to Russ for what he's doing. We wouldn't all be on the air right now if it wasn't for Russ and his ball of fire energy, you know. But my way of doing it for me has to be the way that I have to do it.
That's a great, great point. And actually, I'd like to share, for me, something that's happened to me, you know, when we're talking about passion. You know, as I said to you guys and to our listeners, I used to be a photojournalist. So I worked, I worked for the Bucks County Courier Times in California. I worked for the San Mateo County Times. And when my husband and I decided to move back to the East Coast and start a family, I realized as working for the paper, it wouldn't work, you know, being a mother with small children, okay, just because the hours always vary, and I wanted something a little more stable. So I actually went through a point where I was sad. I was sad because I was no longer doing it, you know, and I was looking at my colleagues that were still working as photojournalists, but what I realized was I was looking at them, okay? It didn't work for me. It wasn't something that I wanted to do. I didn't want to work for a paper anymore, but I would still consider myself to be a passionate photographer, and I am still passionate. The only difference is this time my subjects are always my children, you know, but I would still consider myself passionate even though I'm not doing it full time. So I completely agree with you. I think a lot of times when we compare ourselves to other people that have reached a certain level of success, we feel this pressure that we need to be working as hard as them or we need to have the same values as them. When that's not the case, you definitely still can be passionate about something, but passionate in your own way, just because we're all individuals. We all are different. We were all born different, and we all handle stress differently. We handle we handle various situations differently. Everyone is different, but really it's knowing who you are, being clear on who you are, what are your values. You know, what kind of a life are you living? How authentic are you? You know, as long as you're clear in what exactly it is that you want in life, what your values are, you can still be passionate about something, yet not be the stereotypical passionate person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I completely agree with you, Kim. Any thoughts on that, Veronica?
Yeah, I guess what's coming up for me, I'm actually envisioning, because I work with young women in their early 20s and 30s, and this is one of the biggest topics that always comes up. And what I always envision, and I'm having a picture of it now, is just going in into someone else's closet and putting on their suit or their dress. You know, mm-hmm. and you might love that dress or that suit, and it looks amazing on that person, but it's not tailored to you. So just because
right.
you have a common goal with someone else and you want their life or what they're doing doesn't necessarily mean that you have to do it exactly the same way that they've done it, because it's not your path. Everybody has, you can have the same destination, but the journey is going to be completely different. And I completely agree with what Tim is saying about Russ Terry. I so admire Russ, and I feel exactly the same way. I could not juggle the way that he does. It doesn't speak to me. I take things a little bit slower. I take my time. I assess. I reassess before I take, you know, a certain direction. And for all we know, that just might be what Russ does. And we don't really know what goes on behind the scenes, you know? So
right.
it's definitely all those things need to be considered that, you know, when we have mentors, you know, we obviously go to these people because they have a sense of knowledge that we just may not know. And part of what we want to take away from them is the longevity of time that they've had doing what they're doing, but not necessarily pick up exactly what they did, because it just may not resonate with you.
Exactly.
And I think what's important that, you know, why this line of where we've gone with the topic is important is because, you know, we're talking about keeping passion alive. And I think a lot of people don't even realize that they're still passionate about something because they've got such a narrow definition of what it is or what it used to be that they don't realize that they actually, you know, they still have passion. They've just morphed it into something a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay. It's okay. That's okay. Things change. We change, we grow, we learn things, we get more information, and we move. We move with life. Life is a constantly moving thing, and we are moving with it. And, you know, keeping the passion alive is sometimes just about recognizing that sometimes you just got to shift focus. You know, it's not going to be the same thing it always was. It's not going to look the way it always looked, and that's quite all right. Life doesn't always work that way.
That's very, very interesting because, you know, as human beings, we're constantly evolving. So what we were passionate about when we were in our 20s may not be what we're passionate about now in our 30s or in our 40s or in our 50s. We're constantly evolving. We're constantly changing. There's always different people that are entering our life. You know, when I was 20, I was single. Now I'm married and the mother of two children. So my interests, my motivation, my values have changed. Therefore, my passion has evolved into something different. But at the same time, in my 20s, I graduated with a photography degree. I knew I loved art. I knew I loved design, okay? Even though I am not a full-time photographer now, in my late 30s, I have found a way to incorporate design and artwork in other ways in my professional career. So, you know, I think a lot of times, too, people will stick with one thing. You know, for instance, I'm going to use photography as an example, but let's say they went to school for photography and they were really passionate about it, and they may realize in their 30s that they no longer are as passionate, per se, about photography, but they still feel the need to kind of keep up this facade because everyone has known them as a photographer for so many years, you know? So it's kind of like, well, I want you guys to answer this question. What do you do when you've known for so many years that you've been passionate about something, and then you wake up one day and you realize, you know something? really not that passionate about that anymore. How do you handle that?
I think that's before you even go to an action mode, I think before you would chuck a passion out so quickly, I would really do some soul searching of why that is. I know that also passion and motivation are two words that are commonly used together. And motivation always, you know, when we think of motivation, we got to go, go, go. We got to keep moving forward, no steps back. But also part of the process, I think that a lot of people seem to dismiss is stillness. And part of what I do as well with my practice is the mindfulness piece. And being still is where you really, really get a lot of your answers. And a lot of people have such a hard time with that because we're such a culture of movement. We always got to be doing something, moving forward, and what's the next task or next venture. But really consider what ways you can be still with yourself to ask yourself those questions. Just like we said before, our motivations are going to change. Our values change as we evolve as human beings. It's just inevitable. Change is inevitable. However,
right.
You know, growth is intentional. So what is your intention? If all of a sudden you want to let go of this passion, was there really a lot of passion there in the before? What was it that was motivating you before? What has changed? Sometimes we have barriers. I call them energy blocks. You know, what's keeping you? Could it possibly be that inner critic, that voice, making assumptions, assumptions? All those energy blocks that are potentially keeping you away from that passion now is one of the things you can do through stillness, whether it's taking a walk with your dog or a walk with your husband or whether you're a meditator or you work out. Whichever way you do find your stillness, I think that would be a great place for you to figure that out. And then sometimes all you have to do is that you have to tweak a couple of things. Maybe the action portion or the values have slightly changed, but the overall journey or the overall objective doesn't necessarily have to change. You just have to tweak it along the way.
I think for my part, I would say that you would need to get honest, to really look inward, to reassess, and to accept what is, you know, whatever it is. Something that I was thinking of when Veronica was talking that she sort of brought up for me is that as coaches, one of the things that we realize and that we're trying to get our clients to realize is that whatever it is that you're doing, because, and let me throw this out here, we are human beings, we are not human doings. We are being something, and we're always trying to be something. And you know, whatever it is we're doing and whatever it is we're passionate about, we're doing it because we want an end result. Generally, we want a feeling about something. We want it to make us feel something. We want to be something out of it. I think if I was coaching a client on this and they were telling me, you know, I just don't know what to do. I used to be so passionate about this and I'm not passionate about it anymore. The conversation that I would have with them would be find out, well, is what you're passionate about now, is it ultimately going to give you the same feeling as the thing that you had before? Because my guess is it might. That ultimately, both things are probably going to give you the same payoff. It's just you're not excited about the same thing anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You guys have both brought up very interesting points. And if I was coaching someone and they came to me, and, you know, a lot of people, like you said, Veronica, because we live in this, like, instant gratification society where we need to constantly be making decisions on the spot. And like you said, a lot of people don't really incorporate any sort of mindfulness in their life. You know, they're not present. They're not really there to sit quietly and really think things through. They feel the need to always be making a decision on the spot. So what I would ask someone is, well, what's your why? You know, and how are you emotionally attached to it? Because, you know, once you lose that emotion, you could be trudging along, and it's really not going to get you very far, and it's not going to get you very happy. So what was your why? What were you doing before? What was your why before? Okay? And how do you feel now towards it? And like you said, and like Tim said, we're constantly evolving. So, you know, whatever feeling we had before in the past, well, how can we get that feeling back now? You know, and it may translate into something else. You know, maybe it's not photography anymore. Maybe it's some other sort of design. But what emotion do you have attached to this thing you're trying to accomplish or the success that you're trying to achieve?
Sorry about that. Go ahead. No, you finish your thought, Tim. Well, I was just going to say, sometimes you just get new information. And,
right.
You know, I love to cook. And, people will tell me I'm a good cook. And I honestly, I'm a pretty good cook. And, you know, a few years ago, I thought there was a coffee shop that opened across the street from my house. And I thought, you know what, let me try and, like, I'll bake brownies and make Rice Krispie treats. And I just did those two things. And I will sell them to them. And, you know, I'll make a little money, then they can sell the product and they can make money off of it. And, you know, this will be a great idea because, hey, I love to cook. And then I started to have to cook, you know, and I had to meet a deadline. And I had to, like, not do what I wanted to do because, you know, oh, I promised them that I would get this at a certain time. And then the information that I didn't have before was that my passion about cooking is not the same as a passion for doing a job. And, you know, I thought I was passionate about cooking and maybe, you know, selling my stuff. Well, not really. I'm passionate about cooking when I want to cook.
Right.
You know, so what I learned along the line was that, you know, when I decide I want to cook and I want to entertain or whatever that is, I get to make the decision when I want to do it, and then I'm passionate about it. Otherwise, I'm not so passionate about it.
Veronica, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say, Tim just hit it right, the nail right on the head with that, because I can so relate to that. And it's so true, and it's such a great, great point, because people are going to experience that as they start going through their exploration stages. And, you know, one of the great questions would be, is this I want to do it, or do I feel like I need to do it? And once we've shifted to a place of need to do it, I have to do it, and
right.
It's no longer I want to do it, the energy just shifts completely. So just, again, the whole mindfulness piece of that, when you are thinking or talking about this so-called passion, what's your energy and your language behind it? Because you're right, you know, I can see someone loving to cook for their family and friends, and it's a choice of when it happens as opposed to now it's become a job.
Right, right. Exactly, and that's where your why comes in. You know, why do you enjoy cooking, Tim? Maybe you find it relaxing. Maybe you like seeing, you know, your friends and family experiencing that joy from eating your food, you know? But once you started selling those goods to a bakery, that feeling of gratification that you were feeling before when you did it more as a hobby, maybe you weren't getting that any longer, you know? So that's a very good point, a very good example that you brought up. But at the same time, it was great that you actually took that chance, that you stepped out and you try to, you know, sell it, and you realize, you know something, it's really not for me. I think I'm going to just stick with it more as a hobby.
Right.
So I just want to take a really brief moment to remind our listeners the number to call with any comments, questions, or concerns. It's area code 646-716-9397. I also want to let our listeners know that today, at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on our sister station, International Life Coach Radio Network, join Lene Marie Brunette, Shannon E. Sennefelder, and Erica Nicole Finn as they discuss bully-proofing against bullies, or bullet-proofing, excuse me, against bullies. Learn why people bully, and more importantly, ways to help those that are being bullied. So now I just want to shift the conversation a little bit and ask you guys, I think it would be interesting to hear your thoughts on, you know, when we see people that have this degree, this very high degree of passion or motivation, a lot of times we see it in when people are trying to build a business or just in some sort of a career way. What would you say is, how does that passion, that really strong degree of passion, how do you think that affects people's relationships, whether it's with work, with themselves, with individuals, you know, positive or negative effects that it has on their relationship? Ken, I'll let you answer that first.
Make sure I'm off mute first. I think it's a variety of ways, to be perfectly honest with you. I don't think there's one way. I think that in some ways it can motivate. You know, there's some people that watch somebody who's really passionate and it can motivate them. It can motivate them to think, well, if they can do it, so can I. But there's other people, you know, that can look at it and start to feel bad about themselves. You know, they do the whole compare and despair thing. And really, you know, and they think, well, he can do it. Why can't I do it? You know, what's wrong with me?
Mm-hmm.
I think it can get into the way of things. I mean, if you're in a relationship with somebody and you become so passionate about something that you and so motivated about something that you put all your focus on that thing, it can drive a wedge. I think children do that sometimes in relationships. That you know, parents forget to they forget that they're in a relationship. It all becomes about the children, and then you know, 20 years later, when the children are all out the door, they're looking at each other going, I don't even know you anymore. there's a multitude of answers for that question as far as I'm concerned. It just depends. Passion can be negative and it can be positive. It can be negative in the sense that, you know, you could be passionate about something and lose all track of time and miss an appointment that you need to make. Or you can, like, you know, there are people that will get so involved in something they won't eat, or they'll eat badly, or they'll, you know, there's no one answer and there's no right answer to it. It's just, and it's, you know, it's probably not the easiest answer I could have given, but.
No, but it's extremely realistic. Absolutely.
What's anybody else's thought on it?
Definitely, I like what you said, Tim, because it's extremely realistic, and I think the purpose of this call is not to mislead anyone. And, you know, passion can motivate you and others around you, and also be prepared that you could potentially be losing out on friends and sometimes even family. And I speak from complete experience. As I started moving in a different direction that felt innate to me, people started to kind of remove themselves. And it was a hard part of the process for me because I had to learn that that wasn't about me or where I was headed. It was more about them. So it's definitely something that is real and can happen. Just stay focused and do your homework so that when you're making that transition, you really know why you're doing it. Because sometimes it can hold you back when you feel like people that you've been surrounded by all your life may no longer have that same connection with you. And it's definitely about them, not about you. And, you know, we see it no matter what direction you're doing it. Sometimes we see it when people start working out and you used to have friends and you used to go out and have a few drinks and eat out all the time. All of a sudden, you know, you can't do that with them anymore. You have to reinvent the relationship, and sometimes it doesn't work. Same thing with spouses. If you're really passionate about something, you're consumed with it. You know, start to look around and see if there's balance left in your life. There has to be balance. And just because you're passionate about something and you know what you want doesn't mean you need to be consumed by it.
That's a great, great point, Veronica, and I completely agree with you. I you know, it's really important when you realize that you are passionate about something, and this happens a lot of times with people that are starting a new business, entrepreneurs, and to become so involved in their business, you know, because it's their baby. They're, just like when you give birth to a child, you need to put a lot of attention, and you need to invest a lot of time to make sure that your child grows up, you know, that's well fed and cared for. And it's the same when you're starting a business. There's a lot of time that needs to be invested. So people, you know, tend to be very passionate, very motivated, because they want to see a certain level of success. But this is where really being present and mindful comes into play, because, you know, when we tend to be passionate or motivated, like you said, Veronica, we may realize we're not spending as much time with friends or with certain relatives. But if you're mindful, if you're aware of how they're reacting to you, and sit back and think, okay, well, you know, am I happy with how my relationship with my husband, how it's evolved now that I'm starting a business? Am I happy, how my relationship with my friends? Am I happy with my relationship with my friends now? Now that I'm devoting so much time into my business. So really being aware and making a decision with clarity will actually fuel that passion even further. Because, you know, a lot of times, with me working with new entrepreneurs, it's like they've invested so much time, and then, you know, two to five years down the road, and they realize, you know, I lost so much time with my children. I lost so much time with my husband. I've lost so many friends. You know, so there is a downside to passion, definitely, and I'm certainly not advising people to not be passionate about something. But if you're able to really stay present and be aware of your surroundings and be mindful of how your relationship with the people that you're close to, the people in your life, how that's evolving, you'll be able to make better decisions and really focus on the areas that are important in your life.
And I'd love to expand just a little bit. I know we're running a little bit out of time, but what I would love to kind of close in and say is that have those conversations with the people closest to you. You know, don't assume that because now all of a sudden you have this passion and you're completely committed that they understand exactly where you are in your life or in that moment. You know, with your spouse, your parents, your friends, you know, tell them, you know, this is, I found it. I know what I want to do. How and are you willing to support me in this? Because I want you to be a part of it. And you will be surprised how many people will actually rise to the occasion. And it's just a conversation away. And those who just don't have the capacity, you know, don't shame them or blame them. Maybe they just don't have the skills or they just don't have the energy to be able to do so. But at least now you have opened up the gateway for more positivity for yourself and those closest to you.
And I think that was a really great point, Veronica. And just to piggyback onto it, when it comes to the other people in your lives, just as you really want them to accept you and accept what you're doing and accept, you know, the motivation and everything that you have now found in whatever that you're working towards, you've got to give them the same thing and accept them for who they are. And if they're just not invested in it the way that you are and they can't be there the way that you would really like them to be, just because that's who they are and that's not what they, you know, what they're invested in or what they value, you've got to realize that that's not about you and you need to let them be who they are. And it may mean that you don't spend a whole lot of time or that they're not as important in your life any longer. But it does also, it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, you have to cut things off with an axe or get angry over it or whatever. People are who they are, and they bring to the table what they bring, and we need to accept them for who they are. And if they're not the person that's going to be the one that can support us in the way that we need to be supported, then maybe we need to lovingly is the key word here, lovingly let them go on their way and find somebody who will who will give us what we need.
Right. But be clear on that, you know, once you've made that decision, what's important, what really is key is once you've made that decision to, you know, as you said, Tim, lovingly let them go on their way, to not have any regrets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's really key because, you know, emotions start, like you said, people get angry and they're like, forget about it. This person doesn't support me. This person doesn't love me. And they really don't take the time to step back and really look at everything. Look at it, you know, see how that person is feeling, where they're coming from. So really, when you make that decision, to do it with confidence. Do it with confidence and to do it clearly so that you don't have any regrets afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So,
absolutely.
Okay. Okay, so I think now would be a really great time to, you know, if each of us have any closing comments or you know, thoughts that we'd like to leave our listeners with when it comes to being passionate. So why don't we start with you, Veronica? Any closing thoughts, comments, anything that you'd like to, our listeners to be left with?
Just would love to let our listeners know that better is in our nature. It's in the fabric and fibers of our being, and we are meant to live in purpose. And that could be in any way or form that you decide it is for you. Don't let anybody define it for you. It is our job to find it for ourselves. And that would definitely be my closing statement.
Great. Thank you, Veronica. Tim, how about you?
I would echo what Veronica just said, and I would add to it that define passion for yourself. Don't let anybody else define it for you. Don't compare yourself to other people. Don't try and live up to somebody else's vision of what you should be excited about, what you should be passionate about, what you should be motivated about. I think that if you can do that, you will have a better chance of not only finding your own passion, but holding on to it a little bit better. Because passion has to be the thing, it's got to be truly about something that you really value, that you really care about. And if you allow other people to sort of set that tone for you, you're probably not going to be as invested in it as if you did it on your own. And, you know, and if you're stuck, this is why we're here. This is what coaching is about. And, you know, and we don't do these radio shows to sell ourselves, and I'm not selling you a service. But I do want my listeners, all of our listeners, to understand that, you know, this is what coaching is about. This is what we are here to do. We are here to help you, no matter whether it's in a, you know, a very specific way, you know, a very specific focus. Ultimately, we're really trying to help you to stay motivated, to find what you really love, and to live a life that is authentic to you. And, you know, and that's what really this whole topic is about, is being authentic to yourself and living a life that you can, when you're done, say, I'm so glad I did that.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Both of you gave just wonderful closing comments. And I'd like to leave our listeners with, you know, if you think you need to find your passion because that's going to be your key to happiness, you're looking for the wrong thing. You know, when we're passionate about something, we want it to be all that it can be, okay? But at the same time, life isn't going to be perfect. There's still a lot of different levels to being passionate and to wanting to create a certain kind of life. And with that, that's when balance comes in. So when you're trying to really create a fulfilling and complete life, look at everything around you and really try to break down what it is that you're trying to achieve, what emotion it is that you're trying to fulfill at the time. So that's what I'd like to leave our listeners with. Veronica, I want to give you a chance to, you know, let our listeners know the next time that you're going to be on air again, and again, also when people can get in touch with you.
Absolutely. My next appearance will be in the International Radio Network. It's going to be on August 17th, and that's at 11 Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time. And if you're interested in looking me up, again, my website is lifeleaderscoaching.com, and there's actually a great resource page there with a lot of great content, especially if you're trying to find your passion and motivation in general. And also at Life Leaders Coaching Facebook page, there's also a lot of great positive affirmation. If you need a little pick-me-up on a daily basis, you'll always find new content there. And on Twitter, you can follow me at Veronica Taylor at the Will to Lead. And thank you for having me.
Thank you, Veronica. How about you, Tim? When's the next time that you're going to be on air? And again, how our listeners can get in touch with you.
Well, my next appearance is next Friday, the 9th, at 1 p.m., and it is also on the International Life Coach Radio Network. And then, you know, I should go ahead and plug the fact that on the 20th of August, also on the International Radio Network, at 9 p.m., sorry, I will be debuting my own show. It's called DIY Free Soul. And,
congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
And that night we are going to, since it's the introductory show, we're going to be answering the question that's probably the most important question any of us can ask ourselves, and that is, who am I?
Awesome.
You can find me at my website, DIYForYourSoul.com, DIYFORYOURSOUL.com. You can email me at info@DIYForYourSoul.com. You can reach me on Facebook at Facebook.com/TimBilliter Life Coach. And people keep telling me that I say my name too fast, so it's TimBilliter. And on Twitter at TimBilliter. And, you know, I've never really said this about Twitter for myself. I tweet at least 6 times a day, and all of them, every single tweet, unless it's something that, you know, something that I haven't scheduled, is motivational in some way. So if you're looking to get, like, a motivational quote of some kind, and you need that little hit several times a day, follow me on Twitter.
Thank you, Tim, and congratulations on going solo. I'm sure it's going to be a very successful career for you, solo career on the radio.
Thank you so much.
I'll be on air. Oh, you're welcome. I'll be on air again this coming Tuesday on our sister station, International Life Coach Radio, at 12 p.m. Eastern Time with Danielle Mund and Dexter Cicero. And we're going to be discussing the path to transformation, what it takes to be in a coaching relationship. If you'd like to learn more about me and my coaching practice, again, please visit my website at www.bounce-life.com. Or you can email me at Philomena@bounce-life.com. Again, I'll spell my name, F as in Frank, I-L-O, M as in Mary, E, N as in Nancy, A, at bounce-life.com. I am also active on Twitter, so please follow me at Bounce Life Coach. Lastly, let's take a few minutes to promote a couple of shows that are airing today and tomorrow on Life Coach Radio Network. Again, today at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the International Life Coach Radio Network, please join Lene Marie Brunette, Shannon E. Senefelder, and Erica Nicholson as they discuss bulletproofing against bullies, learn why people bully, and more importantly, ways to help those that are being bullied. On Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, tune in for the Zenberry Life with holistic health coach Emma Galan. The show provides new perspectives and caring support to the time crunch professional to help him or her create more success, health, and happiness, and zen into his or her life. And on Sunday, tomorrow at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, Mark Shaw will be interviewing guest Jason Littman, a young man who has a touching and inspiring story about envisioning the light at the end of the tunnel, no matter what. Well, I wanted to thank our listeners for joining us today. I also wanted to thank my two wonderful co-hosts, Tim and Veronica, for a very passionate discussion on keeping your passion alive. If you missed a part of the show or would like to listen again, the show, along with all the shows aired on Life Coach Radio Network, are archived and can be accessed by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Life Coach Radio Network. So I'd like to wish everyone a wonderful weekend full of passion and have a great day. Thank you.